Welcome to the Domestic Fuel Cast, a podcast devoted to news and information about alternative fuels and energy, produced and hosted by Zimcom New Media.
The House takes its turn on the Farm Bill and its renewable energy provisions. I'm your host, John Davis. Previously, we talked about how the U.S. Senate had included some provisions in the Agriculture Reform, Food and Jobs Act of 2012, better known as the Farm Bill, that deal with renewable energy, in particular, biodiesel and ethanol. Not to be outdone, the U.S. House has its own long name for the Farm Bill, the Federal Agriculture Reform and Risk Management, or Farm Act. However, the legislation that has passed the House Agriculture Committee doesn't seem to have a lot of funding for renewable energy. Because of that lack of funding, most of the proposed amendments were withdrawn. One that did pass that required no specific funding was Arkansas Republican Representative Rick Crawford's measure for the Biomass Crop Assistance Program, BCAP, introduced on his behalf by Representative Kristi Noem, that would protect funding already invested.
My amendment would amend the energy title and adds an additional factor for the Secretary to consider when selecting BCAP project areas. The intent is to give USDA the flexibility to protect BCAP funding that's already been invested and to ensure that these existing projects are given proper support. The worst thing we could do to a project that has benefited and been a part of the BCAP program is to pull the funding from it before it's had a chance to establish itself. The section of the law I'd like to amend sets out factors that the Secretary shall consider, but no one factor mandates certain action by the Secretary. This amendment doesn't alter that fact, and it doesn't mandate a particular result. So the future of the developing energy crop industry is heavily dependent on the support of our farmers. And after only 1 year of BCAP funding, success stories are quickly spreading throughout the country from farm to farm, and both education and enthusiasm for energy crops is rapidly growing. If an existing project is left without funding and left to struggle before reaching maturity or a critical mass of acres, the farming community will view the biomass industry as a waste of resources. That's not the result that we want. Biomass is a critical tool to the U.S. in meeting our goals of energy security. This can only be done with our strongest asset, our farmers.
But Minnesota Democrat and ranking member of the committee, Representative Colin Peterson, expressed his misgivings about the amendment.
This BCAP program was my idea way back when, and it got all screwed up by the lumber people, and they ripped it off for about $700 million, and the whole thing kind of fell apart because of it, you know. And I don't know, apparently they're not doing a good job of administering what's left of it. I'm not sure. So it says that recompeting project areas are causing confusion for farmers and facilities. But I don't have a lot of confidence in because of the way the whole damn thing has been run in the first place. So I'm not sure
with,
if I'm
with the gentleman yield?
It. I'll yield.
Well, you're correct. Current regulations dictate that the assessment of other projects to ensure crop diversity, and this does have the ill-advised effect of pulling the plug on existing projects that could be performing very well but are not yet mature enough to stand on their own 2 feet. So you're right. It does get diluted and watered down and diverted into different areas before and pulls the support away from projects that it was originally intended to do that. This would ensure that projects that are chosen, that they're considered by the Secretary to, if they've already received funding, to continue that investment until they get on their feet.
Well, that's good if that's what happens. But the idea back when we started this was we were going to have 5 years. We were going to have people grow this switchgrass and algae and whatever else that people thought they could make fuel out of. And we're going to find out if it actually worked in the real world. Well, we don't. Nothing happened. We didn't learn anything. We just spent $700 million on transporting lumber that was already being done before. And we didn't accomplish a damn thing out of it.
Despite Peterson's objections, the amendment passed with about 40 other amendments. One of the amendments that didn't make it, however, was Iowa Democratic Representative Leonard Boswell's measure for the Rural Energy for America program, better known as REAP, to give money specifically for REAP and the blender pumps.
It would provide mandatory funding and revised discretionary funding levels for programs to support the efforts of farmers, ranchers, scientists, and businesses to provide us with a more secure, sustainable, and prosperous future.
Non-BLM.
It goes unsaid.
Oregon.
The Rural Energy for America program, REAP, provides financial assistance to producers and rural businesses to develop renewable energy and become more energy efficient. REAP has helped more than 1,500 projects in our state since 2003, 160 in the district. This program has helped constituents in every state, especially those, my friends, here from Minnesota, South Dakota, Illinois, Nebraska, Kansas, Ohio, and others. Without mandatory funding levels, these rural development programs are more likely to be left out in the cold by the Appropriations Committee.
Noam and Peterson chimed in their support.
Consumers don't have the ability to choose the amount of ethanol that they put in their car, whether that's 0% or 15%, and that should be up to the consumer at the pump.
I think we should be funding these blender pumps. We got problems coming in the ethanol industry, and the biggest problem is we can't get access to the marketplace. If we had blender pumps in every station in this country, we wouldn't need any other program. We could compete. But we got to get into the process, and the convenience stores, oil companies don't want to put these in, and, it's something that I think needs to be done.
The amendment ended up being withdrawn, which drew the ire of the Iowa Renewable Fuels Association, whose executive director, Monty Shaw, called out the House, saying that while that chamber has voted against renewable fuels, it has done nothing against big oil monopolies and subsidies. He says it's embarrassing for the House, and Iowa voters will be taking note. And Secretary of Agriculture Tom Vilsack said in a statement, the bill makes misguided reductions to critical energy and conservation program efforts. He was joined by the National Farmers Union, which decried the lack of mandatory funding for the energy title. So is that it for the renewable energy in the farm bill? Well, the House still has to take it up on the floor, and then it must still be reconciled with the Senate's version passed at the end of June. Meanwhile, green fuels were still the topic of discussion over at the House Energy and Power Subcommittee hearing on the Renewable Fuel Standard, where President and Chief Executive Officer of the Renewable Fuels Association, Bob Dineen, said the RFS is as important as ever with high gas prices, foreign instability, and concerns over fracking to get more oil out of the ground looming overhead.
One important alternative fuel, ethanol, is already helping to address these national concerns. America's ethanol industry, buttressed by a visionary renewable fuel standard, is already decreasing our reliance on foreign oil, already exerting downward pressure on gasoline prices, already employing tens of thousands of American workers, and already cleaning up our air. As a result of the forward-looking nature of the RFS, the industry is poised to make even more significant contributions to our nation's economic and environmental security in the future. Simply put, the RFS is among the most successful energy policies this nation has ever adopted. It is working exactly as intended. It most certainly does not need an overhaul.
Michael McAdams, whose Advanced Biofuels Association represents more than 45 companies in the green energy business, also strongly defended the renewable fuel standard during the hearing.
The renewable fuel standard is the bedrock of our nation's renewable transportation fuels policy, and it is directly responsible for the progress that has been made to date in the advanced biofuel sector. Second, as a result of this policy, a number of companies have made significant investments in R&D, pilot and demonstration phases, as well as commercial deployment. Currently, a number of sophisticated manufacturing companies have over $1 billion of private capital ready to build their first commercial facilities. As you well know, uncertainty chills investment. And uncertainty about whether the Congress might change the rules at this critical time by changing the RFS would have negative implications for those who've already invested in the future of this country. My message is simple. That has only been 5 years since you passed the RFS 2. The RFS is fundamentally working, and we are just getting started.
Meanwhile, the American Farm Bureau Federation has opposed Arizona Republican Representative Jeff Flake's bill that the group claims would weaken the RFS by requiring fuel companies to blend only the amount of cellulosic ethanol currently being produced into gasoline. It's a complicated process and promises to get only worse as we move into the fall election cycle. We'll keep our eyes on it. I'm John Davis reporting.
You've been listening to the Domestic Fuel Cast, the official podcast of DomesticFuel.com. Check out the website daily for the latest good news about the alternative energy industry.